This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Joe Lockhart took over from Mike McCurry as White House press secretary just in time for a White House nightmare, the impeachment. Lockhart was White House press secretary from October of 98 to October 2000. In addition to the impeachment, he handled such stories as the bombing of Kosovo and the custody battle for Elian Gonzalez. Lockhart had been McCurry's deputy press secretary. I asked Lockhart to describe what happened the day he took over as press secretary.
The day I took over, it turned out to be the first day of the official impeachment. It was the day the House Judiciary Committee held their first formal hearing on the subject. So in addition to going up and standing in front of the cameras at the White House with a somewhat hostile press corps, there was actually an important piece of news that day. I like to describe my first briefing as an out-of-body experience because through most of it, I felt like I was standing 4 feet to my side watching me screw it up. As with anything, after you do it a couple times, you get a little more comfortable. And I think we all at the White House got more comfortable in that fight as it proceeded. Because I think we knew that the public was generally on our side, that the Republican leadership was pushing things too far and too hard.
Looking back, do you think you did screw up during that first press conference?
Oh, probably not. I mean, I think the president said to me some months later, and I took it as a compliment, something along the lines of, you know, it's really nice that you've lost that deer in the headlights look. And, so I think there was an element of that. There was an element of sort of establishing my own credential with the press corps to be able to speak authoritatively for the president. And that was all of those things are natural for anyone coming in new. This was just accentuated a little bit, actually not a little bit, a lot, by the fact that we were beginning the formal impeachment proceedings.
Did you and the president advise each other on how to handle the press, how to talk to the press during the impeachment?
Well, we had a constant back and forth. So the answer would be yes, but it would also be yes on a number of other subjects, including policy. Truth be told, we both did a little bit of listening and a little bit of ignoring. Because if I did everything the president thought I should do during that time, I don't think I would have been effective, but he certainly had insights from time to time that were quite helpful. And the same is true, I think, of him. I would give him advice on a daily basis, which issues to talk about, which were best ignored or left alone. And there were certainly many days that he took my advice, and I think things worked out better. But there were certainly days when he ignored my advice, and it's, you know, kind of a mixed bag of, you know, whether it was better or worse.
Were there lessons that you feel you learned during the Monica part of the story that preceded the actual impeachment, lessons you learned by handling part of that story yourself and by watching how your predecessor as press secretary, Mike McCurry, had handled it?
Well, you know, I think I learned lessons about that I was able to put into practice when I took the job about being sure, about being skeptical of incomplete information and trying to really get at the bottom and have several people confirm to me the facts of any given story or any given accusation that was made. And that was difficult during the investigative part of this saga. But I think that is what I took most and probably learned most in the time that I worked as the deputy under Mike McCurry.
What's an example of a story where you didn't have as many sources as you should have, and the information was wrong, and you didn't realize it?
Well, there's one story that it's not an important story as far as this case or anything, or even the government. But it was a weekend, and there was a question about whether the lawyers for the president had ever retained a private investigator, because there was a controversy about the independent counsel spending, I think, upwards of $1 million on private investigators. And it was a weekend where Mike worked on a Saturday and I worked on a Sunday. And on Saturday, the reporters who asked got one answer. On Sunday, they got a different answer. And the difference was Mike was smart enough to ask the right questions and push a little bit harder than I pushed to get a completely accurate answer. And so, you know, it was a it was an example of having to do the work. And secondly, what's really damaging, I think, to people who try to do this as a press secretary is that sometimes you ask a question and you want the answer to be a certain way. And when you're in that position, you can hear the answer the way you want to hear it. And that's something that I learned that weekend, learned particularly from Mike, about, you know, don't presume the answer. Don't have an answer you want. Just go get the answer.
So what was the difference between the information you got and the information McCurry got?
His was a, you know, yes, but, you know, it's not like what has been reported that the independent counsel had done. Mine was, I had asked the question just, you know, are we doing what they're doing? And the answer was no, of course we're not doing what they're doing. So I said, no, we're not employing private investigators. And it was an answer, you know, I didn't feel misled by the person. I felt like I hadn't done the work properly to get the right, to get at the truth and the proper answer. And it was the reason that it was so stark for me was, you know, both of us went at this not knowing the other one was doing it, and he just did a better job on it.
So did you give the wrong information to the public?
I did, and I owned it, and, you know, had to, you know, stand up Monday morning and say that, you know, it was, you know, I gave the wrong information, and it was my fault.
And what are the consequences of that?
Well, you know, you don't go to jail, but a press secretary is only as good as their credibility, and something like that does not help your credibility. It's not terminal. The reporters didn't stand up and say, we're not going to believe another word you say. I had a track record with this group for 2 years, and I think they understood that sometimes we make mistakes. If their preconception or if their experience with me was that I was fast and loose with the truth, it would have been a much more serious event for me personally.
Is there an example of a statement you made or the way you handled a turn in the impeachment story that you think was particularly effective in framing the story?
Well, I'll give you one that may seem trivial, but to me it was a it was an important one. And this was near the end where, you know, I think we had beaten back the charge of impeachment and it looked like it was finally going to die under its own weight in the Senate. And immediately there was a groundswell of concern and stories about, well, will the White House be doing, you know, a celebratory dance and will they gloat? And, I heard this for 2 days in a row from the reporters and just, you know, out of nowhere just decided and said and unilaterally declared that post-impeachment the White House would be a gloat-free zone. And I, you know, sort of took some heat from that inside about being so glib, but it actually... Like many things here in town, it's not what happens. It's the lead up and the anticipation. And it sort of took the issue off the table. That's a small sort of anecdotal. I think to answer the larger question, you know, every single day of the impeachment battle, I felt my challenge was to frame this as a political power issue. That the Republicans were doing this because they had political differences with the president and were exercising their political power. And I think by and large, that is the way the public or the majority of the public ultimately viewed this. And that is one of the reasons that the president, you know, enjoyed increasing support through this rather than decreasing support.
My guest is former White House Press Secretary Joe Lockhart. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Joe Lockhart is my guest, and he was the White House Press Secretary during the impeachment. He was the Press Secretary from October of 98 through October of 2000. Well, shortly after the impeachment, you had to handle the story of the bombing in Kosovo.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, people ask me what was the hardest thing that... I had to do during my tenure as White House press secretary. And I think they don't believe me when I say it wasn't impeachment. And I think they think I'm just trying to put it on something that ended better or was more favorable for the president. But it really wasn't impeachment because impeachment was a raw political battle, which from a communications point of view, we were in a pretty good position to fight. Kosovo was much more difficult. You know, this was... something that was very important. Most of us felt very strongly that it was the right thing to do. And we did a miserable job initially of convincing people that what we were doing was right and that it was going to work. And there were a lot of reasons for that. One is that this wasn't like the Gulf War, where you had the ability to show what you were doing. We were doing this in a place where Milosevic had control of state television there, had control of all the pictures, so really could dictate the storyline out of there. We had a really unprecedented political environment here in Washington, where from even before we started, there was not the general bipartisan support for a military action. There was partisan sniping that started even before we started. And there was, within the military, people who did not believe that an air campaign alone would work. They argued that strongly internally, and many of them argued it anonymously and just as strongly in the newspapers externally. So there was a real challenge there that and very frustrating, because we knew what we were doing was right. We were reasonably certain what we were doing would work, but almost from the moment that it started, it faced very deep skepticism.
Now, you were press secretary during the Elian Gonzalez story, and, you know, everyone remembers the pictures of the agents with guns taking Elian away from his relatives. It is one of the most spun photos of the recent past. What were some of the problems that photo presented for you?
Well, you know, this was a situation where the White House had generally stayed out of the Elian Gonzalez issue, allowing Justice and INS to do it. When it became a super overheated political problem, there was a point where the White House could not stay out of it, and I think it was our view, and we expressed it internally within the justice system, that if the family wouldn't cooperate, the boy would have to be taken and returned under circumstances that would be controversial. That was all done that morning, about 5 a.m. in the morning, and was done safely with no one hurt. And in fact, in many ways, it was a flawless operation. And from about 5 till 7 in the morning, we were feeling pretty good about it until that picture came out. And that picture completely changed the dynamic of that morning, because no matter how right we knew we were, no matter how much the law supported and what we thought, your basic family rights supported what we were doing, that picture did more and told a far different story than anything we could do or say. So the story changed a couple hours later in the day when the lawyers for the Gonzalez family released a series of pictures showing the young boy with his father in very pleasant and happy setting. So it really exposed one more time how important a visual image is and how it can drown out even the most compelling of stories, whether it be based on the law or based on what's right versus what's wrong.
Did you put out the word, we need a photo that will make this decision look good, to counter the photo of the agents with guns?
Well, let's just say in my conversations with the Justice Department, I asked the question, because it was important for me to know, is the boy safe? Is he happy? Are things going well there? Is he happy to be back with his father? And the answer to all those questions for hours, hour after hour, was yes, because they had people there, the marshals were there, and I was trying to help coordinate how the marshals would get out and talk to the media. That was all good information, and it would be nice to be able to say, but it was something that you would ultimately have to visually show. So I think, it was one of those weird things where, if I could have gone to where they were and brought a camera with me, I would have. But you had even the television anchors sort of openly saying, it would really be nice if we had a picture of what was going on. So, it took a while for them to pull all it together. But it was it's an example of how You know, words are important, but visual images can trump even the best composed argument.
Joe Lockhart is my guest. He was White House press secretary from October of 98 to October of 2000. You would often joke with the press at briefings. Did any of your jokes ever get you into trouble?
Occasionally. You know, I made a joke. One of the first things I did after I was announced as the new press secretary is I missed a flight. And I made a joke about it at the expense of the president. And
what'd you say?
You know, it was during the period where he had said something quite serious about, you know, trying to make up for the damage he had done to his family during this period. And I sort of used those words to talk about the, you know, the damage I had done in missing the plane. Something that the reporters all thought was hilarious. I don't think the president thought it was that funny. You don't get in trouble in the sense that you actually, you know, someone comes and tells you to go sit in the corner. You realize afterwards that, boy, that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do, and you learn from it. It's, you know, it's a fine line. You know, humor is probably one of the best weapons you can use in sort of disarming a aggressive press corps. It's particularly useful when you can do it at your own expense rather than someone else's expense. But there are times when, you know, in trying to loosen things up, that you go a little bit over the line, and, you know, you generally have to pay for those.
What are your impressions so far of how the Bush campaign is speaking with the media?
Oh, you know, it's hard to judge when you're in this sort of phony period of transition. They will ultimately fail or succeed on their ability to articulate clearly what they're doing, provide solid information, provide enough information about what the government's doing and where they want to take the country. That's not what's going on now. You know, I think that the biggest thing that they face is understanding the difference between being in a campaign and being in government, and the fact that in a campaign you're trying to win a rhetorical battle, and in a government you're actually dealing with facts and you're dealing with things that succeed and fail. And I think the people who do the best are the ones that can acknowledge their failures, but highlight their successes in a way that builds support. But it really is a very different challenge than what a communicator tries to do in a campaign.
One last question: because the press secretary now is on TV all the time, holding briefings, you become something of a celebrity yourself. And I'm wondering, when strangers meet you in the street and recognize you, what are the one or two things that they most often say to you about yourself or about the president?
The odd thing is that most people who you come up to in the street think they know you, but don't know why they know you. They think that you went to high school or college with them. And there's a lot of them are very surprised when you tell them, you know, well, this is why you know me. The ones that do recognize you, generally 95% of them are self-selected positive people who will tell you that they enjoyed your work or they love the president. There's very few people who come up and are nasty. But I think the overwhelming response over the last year, at least, or the overwhelming question is, and if, no matter where I am in the country, I get this, is, what do you think of CJ, and is West Wing realistic? And luckily for CJ and West Wing, I think she's great, and I like the show, so I tell them that.
Well, it tells you something about television, doesn't it, that you could be the press secretary during impeachment, but what people really want to know is, what's CJ like?
Well, it is an amazing thing that I believe that the press secretary's job has fundamentally changed since cameras were introduced, and they're now covered all the time. It has really changed the nature of the briefing. It's increased the importance of the job through visibility. There's this very strange phenomenon in America where you can be a Nobel Prize scientist and say something and no one really cares, or you can be someone like me, and because I say it on television, they really think you know what you're talking about. And I mean, there's something that's probably wrong about that, but it's just the nature of our culture that we glorify that we see on, you know, whether it's a 19-inch or 35-inch box in our living room.
Well, Joe Lockhart, I thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Joe Lockhart was the White House press secretary from October of 98 to October 2000. He's now part of the senior management team at the software company Oracle. This is Fresh Air.